This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Julianne with the February 16, 2024 edition of the Week Junior US, and we'll start with the week's big news. The first article is US athletes win big at Youth Olympics. The Winter Youth Olympics Games, or YOG, ended on February 1 in Gangwon Province, South Korea. Athletes from more than 200 countries competed, with more than 270,000 spectators watching. The U.S. capped the Games with a gold medal for the men's ice hockey team. On the final night, a closing ceremony was held in Gangwon Olympic Park. What happened? The Winter YOG began on January 19 and ran for about 2 weeks. About 1,800 young people competed in 15 disciplines across 7 sports: skiing, snowboarding, figure skating, speed skating, ice hockey, luge, and ski jumping. Athletes had to be or turn 15 to 18 years old in 2024 to qualify. On January 31, the U.S. men's hockey team beat the Czech Republic by a score of 4-0 to win the gold medal after losing to the same team in an earlier round of competition. Of the 4 times the Winter YOG have been held, this was the 2nd gold for the U.S. hockey team. They beat Canada in the championship in 2016. What are the Youth Olympics? The Games bring together promising young athletes from around the world every 2 years, alternating between summer and winter competitions. The first Summer Games took place in Singapore in 2010, and Austria hosted the first Winter Games in 2012. The YOG's mission is to celebrate unity among nations and bring about change through sports. The Games also offer an educational program for young athletes focused on training methods, performance, and balancing competition with life outside their sport. Did the U.S. win other medals? The U.S. earned a total of 21 medals, the most of any nation. These included 5 gold medals, 11 silver, and 5 bronze. Gold medals went to freestyle skiers Liz Lemley, age 18, and Henry Townsend, age 17, as well as speed skater Sean Bokshan Shui, age 17. Silver medalists included freestyle skier Porter Huff, age 15, and snowboarder Rebecca Flynn, age 17. The youngest American to win a medal was figure skater Olivia Elin, age 14, who won silver with her skating partner Dylan Kane, age 15. Bronze medalists include cross-country skier Tabor Greenberg, age 17, and freestyle skiers Abby McLarnon and Catherine Gray, both 17. The U.S. also took home several team medals. Who were the other winners? A total of 29 other countries won medals. Germany came in 2nd with 20 total, including 9 gold, and Italy, France, and China each tied for the 3rd highest medal count with 18. Italy captured 11 golds, the most of any country. Brazil, Thailand, Turkey, and Tunisia won YOG medals for the first time. The host country, South Korea, won gold in the team figure skating competition, one of the most popular events. South Korean skater Hyun-Yam Kim also won the men's gold. Zach Carrick-Smith, a skier from Great Britain, was a huge winner, taking home 2 gold medals and 1 silver and becoming the first British athlete to win a downhill skiing medal at any Olympic event. French biathlon competitor Antoine Guy also won 3 golds, and Italian skier Flora Tabanelli won 2. What will happen next? The next YOG is the 2026 Summer Games, which will take place in Dakar, Senegal. That event will make Senegal the first African nation to host an Olympic event. The location for the 2028 Winter YOG has not been determined yet. In the past, many Youth Olympic Game athletes have gone on to become Olympic championships. And the information bubble? Fun fact. The mascot for this year's Winter Youth Olympic Games was a character named Mungcho, a fast and brave snowball. And the sidebar? New medal decision. On January 30th, after 2 years of deliberations, sports officials disqualified a Russian skater who failed a drug test at the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics. As a result, her team's scores were recalculated and they dropped to third place. The U.S. team originally placed second, but now takes the gold medal, and Japan takes silver. Next article, top music is taken off TikTok. Millions of songs from some of the world's most popular artists, including Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo, and Harry Styles, have been pulled from TikTok. They are unavailable to use in new videos and muted in existing ones due to a contract dispute between the Universal Music Group, or UMG, and the world, which is the world's largest music company, and TikTok. UMG said TikTok is not paying artists fairly when their songs are used on the app and isn't doing enough to combat music created by artificial intelligence. In response, TikTok said it always supported artists and claims that UMG cares more about money than helping artists who are exposed to more than 1.5 billion users in the app. The last dispute of this kind was in 2008, when Warner Music, another global music company, pulled its videos from YouTube for 9 months. When the Week Junior went to press, negotiations between Universal and TikTok seemed to be at a standstill. "We will always fight for our artists and songwriters and stand up for the creative and commercial value of music." And now, California condors released into the wild. Seven California condors hatched and raised at the Oregon Zoo have been released into the wild in California. The species is considered critically endangered and was among the original animals included in the Endangered Species Act, which was passed in 1973. California condors are one of the largest species of flying birds, with wingspans of nearly 10 feet. Thousands of them once lived throughout the western U.S. and parts of Mexico. Fossils have also been found in Florida and New York, which leads experts to believe they once lived there too. By 1982, due to habitat loss and other factors, the population had dropped to 22 birds. In 1987, all the remaining condors were brought into human care for conservation. Through conservation programs at the Oregon Zoo and elsewhere, the birds are bred in captivity and released into the wild to help restore their population. There are now about 500 California condors, most of which are living in the wild. The Oregon Zoo, located in Portland, has cared for California condors since 2003. More than 100 chicks have hatched there, and the zoo has released at least 50 condors, some of which have begun breeding in the wild. The zoo also takes eggs laid by birds in captivity and places them in nests in the wild to hatch. The seven newly released birds hatched at the zoo in 2022. They were given a soft release, meaning they were put into an open cage so they could leave when they felt comfortable. "It's so wonderful to see them take flight," said Kelly Walker, the zoo's senior condor keeper. And the information bubble is fast flyers. California condors can fly up to 200 miles per day at speeds of up to 55 miles per hour and altitudes as high as 15,000 feet. The word of the week is hockey, H-O-C-K-E-Y. Sports often take their names from the equipment used in them. Lacrosse is from the French, meaning the crooked stick, and cricket is related to the French criquet, a stick. Hockey is very similar in that its name probably comes from the French hockey, a shepherd's hook. This week in history, on February 14, 1912, President William Howard Taft signed a proclamation making Arizona the 48th state in the Union. It was the last state to be added to the continental U.S., which is the land excluding Alaska and Hawaii. Most of the area of Arizona had been acquired by the U.S. from Mexico as a territory in 1848. Crowds gathered in Phoenix, the new state capital, and cannons were fired to celebrate. The how-to section this week is how to show someone you care. Make families and friends feel extra special this Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, which takes place on February 14, is a holiday celebrating love, and its origins may date back more than 1,000 years. Today, it's a holiday that honors all type of relationships that bring people joy and happiness. In addition, Random Acts of Kindness Week kicks off on February 11, another reason to make others feel special. Here are some sweet ways to spread love and kindness this year. Deck out your home. Get your family in a festive mood with holiday decorations. One idea is to cut paper hearts out of construction paper, punch holes in them, and use string to hang them across a mantle or bookcase. Another fun way to decorate is write messages on paper hearts and put them in unexpected places. Surprise your family with a looking good heart on the bathroom mirror or an I love you heart on a coffee maker. Start a surprise chain. Here's a fun tradition to try for delighting others. Pack a goodie bag or small box with sweets, stickers, colored pencils, or whatever you have on hand. Leave it on the doorstep of a friend or neighbor without them seeing you. Include a note that encourages them to leave a similar goodie bag for someone else. Make a special plan. One of the best ways to show a friend, parent, or sibling that you care about them is to plan a special outing just for the two of you. For example, you could write a card to your dad inviting him on a hike, or give a card to your best friend suggesting a picnic in the park. You can also do random acts of kindness, like cleaning the clutter out of the family car, packing a surprise snack in a sibling's lunchbox, or surprising a grandparent with an unexpected phone call. Go homemade. There's a reason Valentine cards and chocolates are so popular. Everyone likes them. Make homemade cards and treats for special people in your life. On your card, write about how much you appreciate the person, noting a special quality they have, or recalling a fun memory you shared. And the information bubble is, did you know? In Greek mythology, Cupid, the unofficial mascot of Valentine's Day, is known as Eros, the god of love. And the sidebar is a holiday's history. Since the 1400s, Valentine's Day has been celebrated on February 14, starting in Rome. The oldest known Valentine was written in 1415 in France. Charles, the Duke of Orleans, penned it in the form of a poem to his wife. It's believed that Americans started making and giving homemade Valentine cards as early as the 1700s. The first store-bought cards were likely produced in the 1840s. Around the same time, a British chocolate company, Cadbury, started selling sweets in special boxes for Valentine's days. Customers were urged to keep the boxes after the holiday to store mementos, like love notes. Now we move to animals in the environment, where they are decoding a chicken's cluck. People often wonder what the animals around them are feeling, but it may not be as impossible to understand as we think. According to a new study, humans can identify whether a chicken is happy or upset by listening to its calls. Scientists from the University of Queensland in Australia played 16 recordings of chicken noises to 194 volunteers. The recordings were made by training a group of chickens to recognize different scenarios. In one of the scenarios, there was a bowl behind a door containing a treat, such as chicken feed or mealworms. In the other, there was only an empty bowl. When the chickens knew there was a treat behind the door, they produced fast or high-pitched clucks known as food calls. When there wasn't a treat behind the door, the chickens made whining noises and long moans. Out of the 16 recordings played to the volunteers, half were from chickens expecting a treat, and half were from chickens feeling disappointed by the lack of food. The results showed that 69% of the volunteers correctly recognized whether the chickens were feeling happy or frustrated. This was true even for volunteers who had no previous experience with chickens. This builds on research that scientists have conducted in recent years about how humans can understand the emotions of some animal species, including alligators, tree frogs, and giant pandas. Jorg Henning, who worked on the study, said that people who care for chickens can identify the emotional state of the birds they look after. This means they can use their ability to tell how chickens are feeling to help manage the animal's health and well-being on farms. The researchers also hope that further research could lead to technology that can detect when a chicken is distressed or happy. A team at Dalhousie University in Canada is already working on a computer system that could translate chickens' emotions for farmers and other people who want to make the birds happier. And the fun fact, for some chickens, the color of the egg they lay is the same color as their earlobes. And the sidebar, emotional bonds. Chickens aren't the only animals that humans can understand. Research has shown that people can read the emotions of species, including pigs, horses, and goats. One study found that people are better at recognizing the emotions of domestic animals, or ones that live with humans, than those of wild animals. The next article is Socializing is Good for Dogs. It has been known for many years that spending time with friends and family has numerous benefits for a person's health and well-being, but now a study has revealed the same can be said for dogs. Our canine companions can also improve their health by socializing with other dogs. A team of researchers carried out a survey of more than 21,000 dog owners. Each owner was asked about their dog's diet, behavior, health, and physical activity. The researchers found that different parts of a dog's lifestyle and the environment that they grow up in can be used to predict their health. The results showed that, compared with other parts of their lifestyles, socializing with other dogs boosted a dog's health the most. Not all dogs like to socialize with other dogs, however, so it's important for owners to understand what their pets enjoy. Further studies are planned to learn how different parts of a dog's living environment can contribute to a longer, healthier life. Future research could apply to both dogs and humans. And the information bubble is, did you know? Studies show that petting a dog can lower the blood pressure of both the person and the dog. The animal of the week this week is the Siamang Gibbon. Two Siamang Gibbons, also known as singing gibbons, were released into the wild in Indonesia after they were rescued from illegal pet traders. The pair will be monitored for 4 months to make sure they can survive on their own. They live 25 to 40 years in forest in Southeast Asia. They grow 29 to 35 inches tall by eating fruit, leaves, insects, and bird eggs. And the fun fact, Siamang gibbons have the large throat sacs that inflate to grapefruit size when they sing. The Ask an Expert question is, why is eucalyptus poisonous to humans but not koalas? Like many plants, eucalypts make toxic compounds to avoid being eaten. Most plant eaters cannot tolerate these toxins, but koalas have unique microbes, or tiny living things in their digestive tract, that can break down the poisonous compounds. The microbes are passed on from mother to baby. America's First Lady of Civil Rights. On a bus in Alabama, Rosa Parks stayed seated to take a stand. One woman's courageous act helped change the history of racial injustice in America. Find out why Rosa Parks is called the First Lady of Civil Rights. Her early life. Rosa Louise McCauley was born on February 4, 1913 in Tuskegee, Alabama. At the time, many parts of the American society were segregated or unjustly separated by race. For example, there were different schools for black and white children. Rosa lived with her mother, who was a teacher, and her grandparents, two formerly enslaved people who became advocates for racial equality. As a child, she recognized that black people were treated unfairly and began standing up to bullying from white peers. At age 11, Rosa moved with her family to the city of Montgomery. At age 19, she married a barber named Raymond Parks. Fighting for civil rights. Raymond Parks was an active member of a major civil rights organization, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or NAACP. Rosa Parks, who worked as a seamstress, joined the NAACP in 1943 and was elected secretary of the Montgomery chapter. In the early 1940s, she founded the Montgomery NAACP Youth Council, whose members challenged discrimination by checking books out of the whites-only libraries. Martin Luther King also joined an NAACP youth chapter in the 1940s. In 1948, Parks became the NAACP's first state secretary for Alabama. At the time, civil rights leaders were looking for a way to draw attention to unjust laws. Parks would soon provide one. Refusing to stand. Under Montgomery law, the front section of each public bus was reserved for white passengers and black passengers sat in the rear. If seats for white riders ran out, black riders had to give up theirs. On the evening of December 1, 1955, Parks sat in the first row assigned to black riders. After a few stops, the driver told the passengers in that row to stand to make space for a white man. Parks refused. The driver called the police, who arrested her. Many people believe Parks refused to stand because she was tired, but in her autobiography she wrote, "I was not tired physically, or no more tired than I usually was at the end of a working day. No, the only tired I was tired of giving in." A lasting legacy. Parks' act sparked the Montgomery bus boycott, organized by local black leaders and led by Martin Luther King Jr. About 40,000 people refused to use public buses, a protest that lasted 381 days. As a result of Parks' stand, she and her husband lost their jobs and were threatened. Meanwhile, civil rights groups fought the law she had broken. The case went all the way to the Supreme Court, which struck down bus segregation in 1956. Later, she founded the Rosa and Raymond Parks Institute for Self-Development to carry on her life's work. After her death on October 24, 2005, she was the first woman and second Black person to lay an honor in the U.S. Capitol. Today, monuments throughout the U.S. recognize the brave woman who refused to accept injustice. The first information bubble is special honors. Rosa Parks was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1996 and the Congressional Gold Medal of Honor in 1999. The second, did you know? The Rosa Parks Museum opened in 2000 on the site where she was arrested in Montgomery, Alabama. The sidebar is Browder versus Gale, sitting against segregation. Rosa Parks was not the first person to be arrested for refusing to give up her seat on a public bus. At least four other Black riders from Alabama, 15-year-old Claudette Colvin, 18-year-old Mary Louise Smith, 36-year-old Aurelia Browder, and 77-year-old Susie McDonald, participated in similar acts of civil disobedience before Parks did. Supported by civil rights leader and represented by lawyers Fred Gray and Charles Langford, they challenged bus segregation laws in a court case known as Browder versus Gale. In December 1956, the Supreme Court ruled that racial segregation on public buses was unconstitutional. In science and technology, we learn about a new antibiotic breakthrough. Scientists have discovered a new type of antibiotic that can kill one of the three types of bacteria, which are tiny living things, that doctors say are the greatest threat to human health. These bacteria cause serious and often deadly diseases. Antibiotics are medicines that fight illnesses caused by bacteria. The new one, called Zosurapulpin, has been shown to work against bacteria called carbapenem-resistant Acinetobacter baumannii, or CRAB, C-R-A-B. According to the World Health Organization, CRAB is one of the most dangerous bacteria because it can cause serious illness, but most antibiotics can't kill it. CRAB bacteria have an outer shell that acts like armor. This allows them to live in harsh conditions and survive attacks from medicines or the immune system, which is the body's way of protecting itself against infection. Zosurapulpin stops CRAB bacteria from building this tough shell. That means the bacteria aren't as well protected, and it's easier for medicines to destroy them. No new medicines to fight this type of bacteria have been approved in more than 50 years. Scientists at Harvard University in Massachusetts, and at Roche, a drug company in Switzerland, examined 45,000 small molecules, or groups of atoms, the building blocks of the universe, before they found Zosurapulpin. They tested it on six mice with lung infection caused by CRAB. The mice were given injections of the antibiotics every 6 hours for 24 hours. Six other mice were given another type of antibiotic that is already used to treat CRAB. The scientists then measured the number of bacteria in the mice's lungs and found far fewer in the mice that had been given the new antibiotic. This is the first time we've found anything that operates in this way, so it is unique in its chemical makeup and mechanism of action, said Michael Lobritz of Roche. Zosurapulpin is now being tested on humans. Laura Pittock, an antibiotics expert, told BBC News that it could be a long time before the medicine is available because testing on humans takes years. However, Pittock called the discovery really exciting and said it may also prove useful against other dangerous bacteria. The information bubble is a lucky find. Penicillin, the first mass-produced antibiotic, was discovered by accident by Alexander Fleming in 1928 in a moldy dish. And the sidebar is a mixture to ease long COVID. A new study by researchers at the Chinese University in Hong Kong has found that taking a daily mixture of probiotics and prebiotics can help to treat long COVID, which is when people suffer symptoms of COVID-19 for a long time after getting it. Probiotics are bacteria that help the body, and prebiotics are food for those bacteria. The team gave the mixture in a liquid to 232 adults who drank it twice daily for 6 months. At the end of the trial, members of the test group were up to 2.5 times more likely to have had a reduction in five long COVID symptoms: memory loss, fatigue, trouble concentrating, stomach issues, and overall feelings of being unwell, compared to people who had not taken the mixture. And now, an artificial skin designed for underwater robot. A team of researchers has developed an artificial skin for a robot, which can help it feel the difference between objects and living sea creatures. The robot could be used to collect trash from the ocean or for undersea exploration. The artificial skin takes advantage of something called the magnetoelastic effect. This means that when an object is pushed or pulled, its magnetic field changes. Scientists from the University of California recently found that the magnetoelastic effect could occur in certain polymers, soft plastic materials. They made the skin from these polymers, which are also waterproof and can function underwater. The polymer skin was attached to a robot arm, which was trained to pick up many objects. These included samples of garbage, like bottle caps or plastic cups, and sea creatures, such as starfish and shellfish. Using artificial intelligence, or AI, which is when a computer imitates human learning, the research team trained the robot arm to learn different magnetic signals triggered by the different objects. The arm could correctly identify 95% of what it picked up as either living or not. Experts think the new technology could be used to perform underwater jobs that involve grabbing objects. It could protect marine life while also saving companies time and money. And the information bubble is, wow, skin, the largest organ in the human body, contains 11 miles of blood vessels and accounts for 10% to 15% of a person's body weight. Next, mummies with masks uncovered. Researchers have found at least 73 mummies at an ancient site called Pachacamac in Peru. The mummies date back to between years 800 and 1100. They were wrapped in fabric and rope and well-preserved. Some wore masks known as false heads, made of carved wood and pottery. The mummies are believed to belong to the Huari people, who lived along the coast and in the mountains of Peru between the years 450 and 1000. They were known for creating complex art, including pottery and fabric with very detailed designs. The team also found two wooden staffs, or sticks, buried nearby, which were carved with images of high-ranking people. The researchers think the carvings show leaders from the nearby Tiwanaku Empire, which means the Huari had contact with them. Scientists hope that by studying the mummies, we'll continue to reveal more about the Huari culture. Well, that's all the time we have this week for the February 16, 2024 edition of the Week Junior US. This is Julianne, and have a great week.